This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been sitting in this chair waiting for you so we can get started. And I'm continuing the series, which is called Entry Points, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness. If you're sick and tired of being sick, there's a way to slam the door shut and to keep the devil out so you're not sick anymore. And that's what I'm teaching in this series, which comes with a wonderful study guide. Everything in this series is also in the study guide. And I have a new book, which is called Everything You Need to Know About Healing. It covers so much. I've left no stone unturned because people ask a lot of questions, and I've tried to answer every single question and address every issue for why people get sick and why they're not being healed and what did Jesus really pay for on the cross. It is all here. And I've read a book by a friend of mine named Mike Clark, such a wonderful brother. He had been diagnosed with cancer, and the diagnosis was very, very bad. But he used common sense, he used the Word of God, used his faith, and he walked from that diagnosis into health, even though it looked there like there was no light at the end of the tunnel. So he wrote a book, it's his testimony, called There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel. And I felt like it would be encouraging to you, or maybe you know someone who needs it. But you can order all these things by going online or by giving us a call right now. And when you reach out to us, we want to pray for you. And right now, we are especially focusing on people who need physical healing, or maybe mental healing, or emotional healing. We want to see the power of Jesus released in your life or in the lives of your friends and your family. And so if you'll reach out to us and let us know how to pray, we want to release our faith for the power of God, the virtue of Jesus, to flow into you or to flow into your friends and family, and for healing to take root in them. It belongs to them if they are the children of God. You know, years ago, we had a very dear friend. She was a widow, and she struggled most of her life financially. And she said, Oh, Lord, I just wish that you would bless me with finances so I could be an instrument of financial blessing to ministries and churches around the world. But she just labored through life trying to navigate all kinds of financial hardship, year after year after year struggling. And one day there was a knock on her door. And when she answered the door, on the other side of the door was an attorney who said, "We've been looking for you. Several years ago, a very wealthy relative of yours died and he left everything he had to you. It's in the bank. It's been waiting for you to claim." Technically, she had been rich for years, but she didn't know it. There, all that money was in the bank. Destiny had given her the keys to an immense fortune, but because she didn't know, she continued to struggle through life financially. And that's the way it is with health and healing. Jesus on the cross paid for the forgiveness of sin, peace of mind, for the removal of guilt and shame, and by His stripes, we are physically and mentally made whole, which means healing is in the bank. But if you don't know it, then you're probably continuing to live very beggarly with sickness and bouts of illness and just struggling through life physically with one thing and another thing and another thing, when the truth is healing and health is in the account. It is yours to claim, but you got to know how to claim it. You got to know how to receive it. That's why I'm teaching this series. And one reason Christians are sick, they should not be sick, because by the stripes of Jesus, we're supposed to be made well. But one reason Christians are sick is because they've given place to the devil in some area of their life. We're told in Ephesians 4, verse 27, give no place to the devil. And that word place is the Greek word topos. It describes a real physical location, an entry point or an access point. And here we find the devil is circling us. He's looking for a way to get in. As long as we're walking in faith and we're reinforcing ourselves with the Word of God, we can keep him out. But there are moments when we do something that creates a breach. And when the devil finds that breach, bam, he is on the way. He comes in, and sometimes when he comes in, he brings sickness and disease. And today we're going to find out that anxiety, fret, and worry can open a door. It creates a breach through which the devil comes in to make people sick. I'm talking about anxiety, fret, constant worry. And I want you to listen to this. Listen, I'm going to read you a little bit, but I want you to hear this. Anxiety disorders have become a silent epidemic that is quietly entangling nearly 40 million adults in the United States in their invisible chains. Now, when I talk about anxiety, what do I mean? Here it is. Anxiety is feeling uncomfortable, fearful, nervous, tense, or worried about a real, imaginary, or perceived threat that might or might not happen in the present or future. Fret. What is fret? Fret is being nervous or worried, and it comes from an old English word that means to consume, to devour, eat, or gnaw, and pictures an inner issue that eats or gnaws away at a person. Have you ever said, I'm just being eaten up with worry, I'm being eaten up with fret about something? That's what the word fret means. It means to consume, to eat, or to gnaw away at. What is worry? Worry is an overthinking of a problem, and it results in distraction, depression, and a lack of peace. It's overthinking a problem. Anxiety, fret, and worry are interconnected. Tangled emotions and thoughts that lead to a mental wrestling match with unpredictability, and all three of them have an inseparable connection with fear. Fear is a disconcerting emotion that emerges when confronted with perceived dangers or looming threats, and it produces physiological and psychological reactions, and it is linked to a lot of anxiety disorders. And right now, there are currently around 19 million people in the United States who grapple with one or more phobias that vary from minor inconveniences to severe disturbances. Now, the reason I read all this to you is because I want you to see this really is epidemic, and it results in opening a door for physical sickness and disease. For example, now medical science affirms that when a person has long-term anxiety, long-term fret, long-term worry, it can contribute to coronary artery disease. It contributes to depression, difficulty sleeping, difficulty swallowing, digestive disorders, dizziness, dry mouth, easily tired, fast heartbeat, fatigue, feeling tense, headaches, heart attack, the inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shaking, shortness of breath, short-term memory loss, suppression of the immune system, sweating, suicidal thoughts, trembling, twitching, and vomiting. Did you hear all of that? I don't want to read it again because it's just so horrible. But look at that. That is what anxiety, fret, and prolonged worry opens the door to. And if you're dealing with any of these things, and you're also filled with anxiety, fret, and worry, my friends, it is likely you have opened a door for the devil to come in to consume you. Just to consume you. You got to close the door to that. And the following are the physical systems that are also affected by long-term anxiety, fret, and worry. You ready for this? Physical systems, cardiovascular systems, the central nervous system, respiratory system, the excretory system and digestive systems, and the immune system. You know, I was talking to one doctor who said to me, if people would just stop worrying, most of them would get well. That is how strong anxiety, fret, and worry is. And many, many people just live with it as though it's normal to live with it. My friends, these are door openers to all kinds of horrible things. Now, I want to give you my personal testimony about anxiety, fret, and worry. I grew up in a particular context where I heard people say all the time, "I'm just worried to death. I'm just worried to death." And we just kind of thought that it was natural to worry. I could not begin to count the times I heard somebody say, "I'm just worried to death." And you know what? It's the truth. You worry to death. It produces death in you. It opens a door for the devil to ravage you. That's what anxiety, fret, and worry produces. And in our particular church, we always talked about being burdened about this and being burdened about that. And I just kind of thought it was normal in life to be worried and to be burdened and to be stressed and to be cared about something. And if I ever had a day when I was just lighthearted and carefree, soon I was wondering what was wrong with me. "You're so irresponsible," because no responsible adult would be so carefree. "You need to be concerned. You need to be stressed. If you're really responsible, you should be worried about something." And if I couldn't think of anything to be worried about, I would work myself up into something to worry about. Ay, ay, ay. I can remember in high school just being eaten by anxiety, fret, and worry. I mean, just eaten up by it. And then later, when I went into the ministry and I began to serve a pastor who had great expectations, I worried day and night that I was going to disappoint him. I was working, and was worried that I wasn't doing enough, and I wasn't doing enough. We actually came to a moment when I was calling more than 200 people every week to invite them to Sunday school, 200 calls a week. And I was worried that it wasn't enough. I was working from morning till night, and guess what? I ended up in the hospital with a bleeding ulcer and with bags of blood pouring into my body to compensate for the blood that I was losing. And the doctor sat on the edge of the bed and looked at me and said, "Rick Renner, you are in your early 20s. You cannot live like this. If you continue living with this kind of anxiety, fret, and worry, you yourself are going to cut your life short." And I remember looking at him thinking, "I just don't know how to live free of worry." He got up and left and went down the hallway to see another patient. I looked up at the news, and at that particular moment, for the very first time, I saw the very first news broadcast about AIDS. But it didn't even have a name yet. That's how new it was. And the news broadcast said, "We are concerned that the blood bank of the United States has been tainted by this new killer disease." And I looked at that blood flowing into my arm, and then I began to worry. Maybe I just received the silent killer. I worried about everything. I worried about things that possibly could happen. I worried about things that probably would never happen. I just worked my life into a habit of worry, and it just became the way that I lived. Then later, when Denise and I began our own ministry, I also worried. I worried about finances. Even when we were in good shape financially, I worried that it wouldn't last very long. I just worried, and this worry just went on for years and years, until finally we were living in Riga. And in Riga, we were building a big building, and we didn't have enough money to finish it, and I was worried about it and worried. And one night I was tossing and turning, just so worried and eaten up with anxiety and fret. I walked down to my little office, laid my head on my desk, and began to pray, Jesus, there's no hope. Lord, here I am. I'm supposed to be a man of faith. I don't have enough money to finish the project. I just began to weep before the Lord. And all of a sudden, there was a little tap on my shoulder. I looked up, and there standing next to me was Joel, who at that time was probably about 7 or 8 years old. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Joel, what are you doing here?" He said, "Dad, something woke me up and told me to come down here." "Dad, why are you crying?" I said, "Oh, Joel, Dad's worried about money." And he said, put his hands on his hips, "Ah, Dad, hasn't God proven himself faithful to you yet?" Then he turned around left my office, went back to his bedroom and went to bed. And I sat there stunned because that was the truth. What was I worried about? God is faithful. God has been so faithful. We have never missed a meal. We've already always paid our bills. God has always enabled us to do even what seemed to be impossible. And yet there I was sitting just eaten up with anxiety, fret, and worry when God is absolutely faithful. And I opened my Bible and I turned to Philippians 4, 5 through 7 and found a verse that really helped me put anxiety, fret, and worry to bed. And guess what? From that time to this, I have lived free of anxiety, free of fret, and free of worry. Do you know those emotions are a complete waste of time? They're just a waste of time. They don't change anything. They don't change your situation. They don't change you. They just eat you up and open the door for you to get sick. At that particular moment, when I was wrestling about finances, I had high blood pressure. I was dealing with all kinds of physical symptoms. I had reflux in my chest. I couldn't sleep at night. I had opened the door to these attacks because of anxiety, fret, and worry. But in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 to 7, Paul writes, "Be careful for nothing." It means don't worry. I didn't like that verse because I didn't know how to live like that. What do you mean, don't worry? And the Greek means don't worry about anything. It means nothing at all. And then Paul writes, but in everything, the Greek says in panti, the word panti means everything. In every little detail, in everything you think about, everything you face, doesn't matter what it is, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the word request means your demands. If you're a child of God and you're in a place of anxiety, fret, and worry, put it to bed and just begin to make your requests, make your petitions known unto God. And the word known really means to broadcast. You got to broadcast it to heaven. Do it in faith. And verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. What does the word peace really mean? Well, it's the Greek word eirene. I'm going to read to you from my notes. It describes the cessation of war, which means if you've got a war going on inside you, you can end it. Peace ends it. It describes conflicts put away. If you've got conflict inside you, peace will end the conflict. It is a time of rebuilding and reconstruction after the war has ceased. So rather than just fighting and struggling, peace puts all that to bed and enables you to begin to rebuild and to reconstruct and to move forward. It is a time of prosperity, the rule of order in the place of chaos. It is a calm inner stability that results in the ability to conduct oneself peacefully even in the midst of circumstances that would be normally traumatic or upsetting. It is the Greek equivalent for the Hebrew word shalom, which expresses the idea of wholeness, completeness, or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. All of that is in the word peace. That's how powerful the peace of God is. It ends conflict, it ends war, it puts away distractions, it enables you to focus on positive things rather than on negative things. Peace of God enables you to be tranquil even in the midst of situations that would normally be traumatic or upsetting. That's how supernatural peace is. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, it's your heart that gets upset. It's your mind that is working overtime. It's overthinking the problem and opening the door for the devil to come in and to ravage you. But the word keep your hearts and minds. This word keep is a military term used to express the idea of soldiers who stood faithfully at the post at the city gates to guard and control all who went in and out of the city. These were gate monitors whose approval was necessary for anyone to enter the city. It's used to denote the guarding or keeping of whatever has been entrusted into one's responsibility or care. And now we find that when the peace of God, we're talking about the wonderful, dominating peace of God, when it's working in our heart, it stands at the entrance to our heart and our mind like monitors, like guards, and it interviews every thought that comes to determine whether it's allowed in or whether it's prohibited. If it's good, they move it out of the way and that thought comes on in, but the peace of God will bar, it will prohibit, it will stop every foul thought from getting on the inside. That's what the peace of God does. It is a gate monitor for your mind and for your heart. Well, we've already seen there are vast numbers of people struggling with all kinds of phobias and fears, and it opens the door for all kinds of sickness and disease. And it's just possible, I'm not saying it's the case, but it's possible that if you're dealing with some kind of sickness and a disease, then you need to look and see whether you have opened a door through anxiety, fear, and worry, because those are door openers. They provide entry points for the enemy to access you, and you need to repent of it, put it away, and you need to follow the steps in Philippians 4, 5 through 7. You need to commit everything to the Lord by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known unto Him and broadcast to heaven your need, and allow the peace of God to fill you and to stand at the entry of your heart to keep that nonsense out. Amen. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you. Someone has asked the question, how can I be sure that I'm not being swayed by false or wrong teaching? Well, first of all, we're told in 1 Timothy 4:1 that in the end of the age, there's going to be false teaching. It says some are going to depart from the faith. And when you read that in the Greek text, it has a definite article, which means it's not the departure just from faith, but it's from the faith or from the clear, sound teaching of Scripture. And when you read that in 1 Timothy 4:1, it's not something that possibly may take place. The Holy Spirit says explicitly it will occur. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we are commanded to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. That word try means to really test. And my friends, your mind and your spirit is very important. And before you eat what is set on the table in front of you, you need to try it, you need to test it, and make sure you're being served spiritual food that will produce a healthy state of being in your life.
The devil is looking for a way to access your life. And if every door is not shut, he will find a way in. In Rick Renner's 10-part series, Entry Points, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness, you'll learn how to walk in your healing, experiencing it, enjoying it, and making sure every door to the devil is closed permanently. Rick will teach you how to guard your life and walk in God's protection, how to identify hidden entry points in your life, how to shut the door of ignorance and claim the health Jesus purchased for you. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $20, this series will help you stop the devil in his tracks. In addition to this teaching series, we are offering you Rick's newest book, Everything You Need to Know About Healing, for $37. And There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel by Mike Clark for $20. These books will be your roadmap to walking in the healing Jesus purchased for you. Order these powerful books today. Don't miss this special offer. The series Entry Points, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness, and the books Everything You Need to Know About Healing and There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel. Visit Renner.org to order. Call the number on your screen or scan the QR code now. Call or go online now.
Hey guys, this is Rick Renner, and guess where I am? This is the lunchroom in our Tulsa ministry headquarters facility. People have to have a place to work, and they work really hard in this facility, taking calls, answering letters from thousands and thousands of people who reach out to us every day and every week. But in this room, we decided to adorn the walls with photographs of all the places where we have offices for Renner Ministries.
Behind me, there's a beautiful photograph of Moscow, because you know we have a very important office there. Then there's a photograph of London, because we have an office in England, and we've had an office in England for years and years. Then there's a beautiful picture of Riga, where Denise and I and our boys lived for 9 years, and our European office in Riga handles so much correspondence from people that reach out to us. And then there is a photograph of the Oklahoma State Capitol to represent this office, which is in the state of Oklahoma. But right now, we're trying to pay off this facility. It's called the Ministry Expansion Project. We've already paid off 83% of the facility. And my friends, we need your help to help us finish this. And if you're not already a part of the giving team, I'm inviting you to join us and to help us pay off this facility. And when it is finished being paid for, it's going to release all those finances so we can keep taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. But thank you for being a part.
Today we've been talking about how anxiety, fret, and worry is a door opener. It gives an entry point to the enemy so he can get in and make you sick. Sick physically, he can make you sick mentally and emotionally. My friends, you can slam the door shut to keep him out so you don't get sick. All of this is a part of a series called Entry Points, How to Stop the Devil from Attacking You with Sickness. It comes with a study guide. And as I've told you, I'm so excited about my new book, which is called Everything You Need to Know About Healing. It is really hands-on. It is so practical. It identifies the reasons why Christians get sick, though they should be well. It shows them how to slam the door shut and what is really provided at the cross for you in terms of healing and health. Jesus wants you to be physically and emotionally and mentally well, and He died for that to be yours. It is in the bank for you. You've just got to claim it. But you can find out more about all these resources by going online or by giving us a call right now. But I want to pray for you. Put your hand on your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for any of my friends that are dealing with anxiety, fret, and worry. And Lord, I pray that they would learn to cast it over on You and be freed of it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I pray for health and healing to come flooding their being. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you in the next program. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there really is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive You as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank You that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve You as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit Renner.org. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.